You know what? I had a little more prepared here. You can see some verses up here that are actually super key, okay, to what we're about to talk about. We're going to talk about Proverbs 6 and 7 today, but Proverbs 6 and 7 is, you know, generally, actually, even 5, all talks about that. It kind of tends to focus on adultery, okay? But that wasn't my task for today. My task given to me by our great pastor, Michael, was I want you to talk about wise sexuality, okay, and as it relates to Proverbs 6 and 7. So that was kind of a daunting task because wise sexuality has a whole lot more to do than just with adultery. But as a general introduction, Proverbs 6 can be broken down into about 4 different sections, okay? Cautions against going into bad deals or rash suretorship, a rebuke against laziness or slothfulness. Then God identifies 7 things that he hates, and then he exhorts us to walk in God's commands for the remaining of the chapter, and that focuses in on avoiding the immoral woman. Chapter 7, again, you know, illustrates the value of wisdom and where it comes from, and the latter part is all focused on, it's really a narrative, it's a history or a parable of, again, the young man who falls prey to the immoral woman. Okay, so in one sense, the 2 chapters devote a bit of time to identifying how immoral men and women act, okay, and the sinful decisions they make. But when we look at the whole scope of the chapters in relation to God's word, it's clear that the implications are much broader than that. And I'm going to read something now from Matthew Henry's commentary. And he says this, and he's speaking of Proverbs 7 here, but it's applicable across the board. He says, here is an affecting example of the danger of youthful lusts. It's a history or a parable of the most instructive kind. Will anyone dare to venture on temptations that lead to impurity after Solomon has set before his eyes so lively and plain a manner, the danger of even going near them? Then is he as the man who would dance on the edge of a lofty rock when he has just seen another fall headlong from the same place. The misery of self-ruined sinners began in disregard to God's blessed commands. I'll say that again. The misery of self-ruined sinners began in the disregard to God's blessed commands. We ought to daily pray that we may be kept from running into temptation, else we invite the enemies of our souls to spread snares for us. Ever avoid the neighborhood of vice. Beware of sins that are said to be pleasant. Okay, they are more dangerous because they most easily gain the heart and close it against repentance. So, before, I have a small film that we're going to show, okay, and it comes from inhisimage.com, inhisimagemovie.com. Johnny shared with me a DVD, which is, he got at General Assembly. We're not showing that because it's a little too in your face, okay, and if you want to talk about that, it's something that perhaps you can, you know, assess for yourselves, you know, whether or not you want to show it to your children or to your older children, that sort of thing. This video will talk about homosexuality, okay, that I'm about to show. It'll show some arguments that people have made towards homosexuality or in defense of it, and then how we as Christians can counter that. It's focused there, but it can also be applied to transgenderism, okay? It can also be applied to gender dysphoria, okay, or that is people being unhappy with their sex, okay, or gender confusion. It can be applied to male and female roles, okay, or male violence against females, or conversely, female desires for control, okay, of their families, okay, coming from Genesis chapter 3. These are all things that we as human beings, we're all tempted. When we don't get what we want, when we are dissatisfied with life, we end up turning and we're not satisfied with God's timing. We turn to ourselves and our own abilities, okay, to address the situation as opposed to waiting on God. And we don't, and as Matthew Henry said, we turn to our own devices and our own selfishness to solve these issues that we perceive as opposed to letting God take care of it. That's one of the reasons why I chose these two hymns this morning, Blessed Assurance and Trust and Obey, because this is the key, okay, to what we need. It all goes back to these verses here and the whole scope of God's Word, okay? So, American Family Studios, division of American Family Radio, Tim Wildman's ministry, you know, put this on. Again, there are lots of other resources that are there on the website. best be careful of what you review it first, because some of it is very real. I mean, they're all focused on Christ, obviously, but some things I want to, touch on here. In the video, he talked about how motive is an important part of this. And that's why I think in Proverbs 6, God talks about, the seven things he hates. Well, the six things he hates and the seventh thing that's an abomination. And those things being a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises evil schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and lastly, a person who stirs up conflict in community. All these things are attitudes that are present, really with any sin, because what is sin? Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God, as we know. But these things indicate and are present, especially with this whole subset here of sexual immorality. Now, one of the questions there on your handout is, what are we talking about with wise sexuality, okay, as opposed to unwise sexuality? I think I hearken back to Romans 1:26, okay, and where he states, for this reason God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. We're talking about dishonorable passions and exchanging natural relations for unnatural ones. That's unwise sexuality. It's patterns that go against God's design and word, okay, is what I would define as unwise sexuality. Wise sexuality would be the converse of that, of course, which is following what God has commanded, in His Word. So, why do we do that? And all I can turn to is in Jeremiah 17:9. Our hearts are deceitful, and we need to be cognizant, even as, whether you're a young believer or an old believer, your flesh is there, and your flesh is going to want things on a different timeline than what God wants. So, and you need to be aware of that. And that's why I thought this video, it's applicable whether we're talking about, as I said, whether we're talking about adultery, whether we're talking about incest, whether we're talking about bestiality, whether we're talking about transgenderism, whether we're talking about gender dysphoria. But the fact, if we don't study as Christians and know the arguments to counter the things that we see in the world, that's one of the things that attracted me to this video. I thought this was a pretty good video as far as laying out how to counter some of the arguments that the world presents, at least with reference to homosexuality. But we have to do the same thing with everything else, okay? And it all focuses back on, we are commanded, what are the two greatest commandments of Matthew 22 that Christ gave us? You shall love the Lord your God with all our heart, all our souls, all our minds, all our strength, and we shall love our neighbors as ourselves. When we're not giving, and of course that's a tall order, isn't it? And when we start purposely separating out, I'm going to separate out this portion of me so I can indulge in that little sin. Maybe it's a big sin. Maybe it's a recurring sin. Maybe it's a backsliding sin. Okay, we all have it. But that's what we need to be aware of. I wanted to ask all of y'all. So, What are your thoughts with respect to why sexual immorality, it does seem to be more prevalent now. It does seem to be out there in our face all the time. I mean, what are y'all's thoughts with respect to that? And by the way, I've got to turn this on since we're doing Q&A right now. And I hope I do this right because Steve gave me instructions. So again, the question is, why is this sin pattern so prevalent now? Or is it not? You know, has it always been the same?
Well, I think we can definitely see it's worse now. And a big reason I would say is because sex has been disconnected from childbearing due to birth control and abortion.
Mm-hmm.
So if sex has nothing to do with children anymore because they're taking birth control or whatever, then it's just about physical pleasure. And if it's just about physical pleasure, then why can't someone have sex or marry to someone who they have pleasure with? It's by disconnecting children from sex, you can't really say homosexuality is wrong. But if sex's main purpose is children, then only a marriage is when it's acceptable.
Could I offer up that what you're bringing up is more of a symptom to the issue in my line of thinking? I think the more of a fundamental issue is that God's design for husband and wife is a reflection of Christ and the church.
Yes.
And that as we rebel as a culture, as individuals, we sin and rebel against God. We want to eradicate any imagery or any reminder. You know, our conscience has this flight, this rebellion against God. And individually and culturally, we rebel against God. And any reminder of God and His design, we want to eradicate. So I think that's more of a fundamental issue. I think you're correct, but more of those core symptoms or, you know, down the road issue.
I think also it's worse today because technology makes contraceptive and birth control more effective. Mm-hmm. So it's easier based on technology to actually stop that.
Yeah, it's accelerating the issue.
It also promotes anonymity as well. Go ahead, Dee.
I think it's a failure of the church in many ways because there are many denominations now that are more accepting of homosexuality and encouraging that rather than discouraging that and calling it wrong.
No, I think you're right there too. You can see it across the board. Okay. The other video, which actually is in my bag, I got to get back to Johnny, it showed a number of different very, very vehement preachers of various, you know, lifestyles that I just thought were just too disturbing for this crowd. It was too disturbing for me. And that, you know, there's, I agree with you there. Yeah.
John, and just to add on, I think that it's a dysfunction of our family unit as well, because you can see that when divorce became prominent rather than the odd thing, you lost family values, you lost morals, you lost structure, guidance. If people go to what they want to do rather than what they're taught they should do.
I think all the sin patterns that we see, and I've mentioned them a couple different times throughout this teaching, you know, it's kind of like it is an interconnected web. When we violate God's design for marriage and for male and female relationships, that's the result. The result is the breakdown. Okay, these are the natural consequences of doing unnatural things. We just need to be able to recognize them. And one of the ways we recognize them is, you know, through this, I never used to pay attention to, I mean, yes, I paid attention to the seven things that God, but, you know, when you read through Proverbs, you know, you're reading it, it's like, yeah, seven, you know, six things God hates, and then this is an abomination, just like, you know, whatever. But the connection is that it speaks to motive and attitude within other people, but also ourselves. Okay, and that's super key. They're indicators of rebellion against God's design. And that's what we're talking about here, is rebellion against God's design. So I just, and it's more, we need to be concerned about it because our kids.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I feel like it's more prevalent now because I think that it's been put into all the time so that we're desensitized to it and we begin to accept certain things that previously we wouldn't have accepted, and so, and they're being presented to our children at younger ages so that that way they grow up accepting that as well. Just as far as, like he was mentioning with, you know, the birth control and abortion and all of that, was the beginning of, you know, freedom from the confines of that. And then, and that is something that, like, a television shows or whatever, put in a positive light. And then, you know, and that goes hand in hand with sex before marriage. That, you know, like, well, it's not that bad. You know, like, you, it's so easy to think that. And, I mean, even when I was in high school, that was 20 years ago, that was something that was, like, the accepted thing. And the new accepted thing is now this. This homosexuality and transgenderism and all that, that is a new thing that's being pushed. And it's so, we're so inundated with it that we don't even realize that it's slowly eroding away.
I would say quickly.
Yeah. Well,
Michael.
But Joel Beege and Paul Smalley co-wrote One Man and One Woman, Marriage and Same-Sex Relations, and the foreword is written by Rosario Butterfield, if you know anything about her. And so it is a steadfast commitment to Scripture. At the same time, it is hopeful for those who can change. And so there is that hospitality of heart that we need to exude for those who sin in these sinfully passionate ways. So there is hope for them, all of 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, but there's also the commitment to the authority of the Word of God.
Amen. I would also offer up, you know, we've been talking about willful sin. And this is always, sin is always willful. Okay, but I will tell you that there's some really, really tragic, and if you go to this website, okay, InHisImageMovie.com, you'll see some very, very tragic stories of people, of both men that are my age and older that were successful, and then because they had been abused, you know, as a child, that was part of the problem, and then they ended up being, you know, targeted by other people, and then that caused confusion about who they were, where their value was as a human. And then, I mean, it's just a tragic story. Or young women who feel that the only way they can get attention is by being promiscuous in order to get the attention of men. And this one woman, young lady, went so far, and then she became so convinced that while not getting any sort of real respect as a woman doing this, I'm going to become... And this young lady, who was probably 15, had a hysterectomy and a mastectomy, took hormone therapy, okay, became a young man, I mean, chemically, I suppose, and surgically, and then realized after a while that the church, people just kept on praying for him, and long story short, she did come back to Christ. She did... But it's a tremendously disturbing, sad story, whether we're talking about men or whether we're talking about women. And sometimes, and you know, there needs to be compassion here for these people too. Which, and I'll leave you. It's 10:35. I haven't heard the bell yet, but here it comes. It's coming. It's rolling up like a wave. Anyway, but. We do have to be compassionate too, and we need to think about, as a church, how are we going to reach out to these people as well? Okay? Because that's our job too.
That's one of the things that talking about with Nadia Butterfield was that this certain church, a certain letter she received when she read this article against Christianity or the Bible or something, was not hateful, and when she went to this church talking pastor, he was so kind to her, and the whole congregation welcomed her and cared for her while not accepting her sin, and that was that made the biggest difference to her.
Great. Well, there's the bell, everybody. Let me pray for everybody here. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time of worship and this time of fellowship with you and with each other, but especially the teaching of your word, Lord, and the bringing of clarity of how your word makes our lives easier, gives our lives order, for you are an orderly God. Lord, thank you for this time. We praise you for it, and we just pray that you would prepare Michael and all of us in our hearts for worshiping you here in a few minutes, and we lift you up and we praise you and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Thanks, everyone.